我感觉是非常。
I feel very safe here. It's a heaven for freedom. You can have free speech.
Many find reasons to leave China. It's Monday, January 3rd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Afghan sheep herders, currency changes and antique timepieces, slow-moving supply chain, unfolding space news, top Oscar nominees. It's all on today's VOA Asia. In a move that mirrors its national security clampdown in Hong Kong, Beijing is inserting itself more directly into the security affairs of Macau, in spite of long-standing assurances the former Portuguese colony would enjoy a high degree of autonomy. The official Xinhua News Service says the director of the liaison office in the city, a mainland official appointed by Beijing, will also serve as an advisor to the Committee for Safeguarding National Security of the Macau Special Administrative Region. The committee will also have three new national security technical advisors, according to a report. Macau has long been seen as a tamer city by Beijing than neighboring Hong Kong, with only three pro-democracy candidates out of the 33 members of the Legislative Assembly. Both cities operate under the One Country, Two Systems framework, in which they have been promised a high level of autonomy. Over the years, Canada has become an attractive destination for people from Hong Kong and China who have migrated there for reasons that range from economic to political. VOA's Jusessman Oni tells us more.
For Huang Yang, there was no other option but to leave China.
Because of my works of art, I was put in jail all these years and persecuted by the government, so I had no choice but to leave my homeland.
This Beijing artist uses his work and social media to document and highlight the sufferings of Chinese citizens. He says Chinese authorities threatened and arrested him multiple times and forced him into a re-education through labor program for 15 months. He is now seeking asylum in Canada. Canada has large immigrant communities, including in Vancouver, where about 20% of the population is of Chinese descent. Many came here for educational and economic opportunities, but others like Hua moved to Canada in search of political refuge.
In reality, even though people are from China, I feel we don't have human rights there.
Critics say China has become more heavy-handed in recent years on the mainland and in Hong Kong. In 2020, China imposed a new national security law targeting people who it says are responsible for acts of subversion or terrorism, limiting speech and the ability to gather. Beijing state media claims the new security law is needed to protect the people after months of violent pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong. In response to the new security law, Canada created a work permit and two new pathways to permanent residency for Hong Kong residents. Immigration consultants have seen a surge of interest from Hong Kong residents wanting to leave the territory for Canada. While the Canadian government has made it easier for Hong Kong residents to move there, Canada has yet to see a surge in new immigrants from Hong Kong. Canada received more than 3,000 applications for various visas from Hong Kongers in the first quarter of the program. In contrast, an estimated 335,000 Hong Kongers moved to Canada before the British government handed over its former colony to China in 1997.
The expected tsunami of applications from Hong Kong to Canada in any category, including citizenship categories, just not there. And that means that there's no rush.
One reason is likely that many Hong Kongers still living in the territory already have Canadian passports and can return to Canada at any time. While there may not be a tide of people migrating to Canada yet, Reuters reports Hong Kong residents moved record levels of capital to Canada, surpassing $40 billion last year.
I feel very safe here. It's a heaven for freedom. You can have free speech.
One reason why Juan and people from Hong Kong choose to live and be citizens of Canada. Jason Samelny, VOA News.
We invite you to read and see more on this and all of the stories you hear on VOA Asia by following us on Twitter. You'll find us as well on Facebook and, of course, our website, voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Why United States is raising pressure on China over treatment of Tibetans and Uyghurs. India's foreign funding ban on missionaries of charity fuels controversy. In New Year's speech, Taiwan president warns China against military adventurism. Myanmar military reverts to strategy of massacres and burnings. South Korean activists urge better treatment of asylum seekers. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more by visiting us at Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and the voanews.com website. We have more VOA Asia for you right now. Some Afghan refugees living in Turkey are turning to the ancient practice of sheep herding as a way to make a living. VOA's Ayep Demir has a report, narrated by Sirwan Kajo.
Sheep herding is becoming more popular among Afghan migrants in Turkey, who say it's one of the highest paying jobs they can find. Zabihullah Afghan, who fled violence and poverty in Afghanistan, works as a shepherd near Ankara, Turkey's capital.
It's been 4 years since I came to Turkey and have been shepherding here for a year. My employer is a nice person. There are two of us and we shepherd 700 goats. We are happy with the work.
While there are no official figures on the number of Afghan refugees in Turkey, estimates place the number at more than 300,000. Many came here after the Taliban took control of Afghanistan in August. The shepherds say the work is hard, but it gives them hope.
I came to Turkey for work, so that I can make some money and go back to Afghanistan and begin my life. I came here to work, and this is good work. We get 3,300 liras, and it's good. Thank God for it.
Other Afghans complain about poor working conditions and the lack of benefits.
We have no choice but to work here. If we had a choice, we would go back to Afghanistan. It rains here and it gets really cold. We come here at night to make some food. It's really difficult here. If our country was in a better situation, we would go back.
But many agree they will not be able to return home anytime soon, especially with the Taliban firmly in charge. For Ayub Demir in Ankara, Turkey, Sirwan Kajo, VOA News.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, fighting a declining currency. Happening now in Asia, a Hong Kong online news site says it will cease operations in light of deteriorating press freedoms days after police raided and arrested seven people for sedition at a separate pro-democracy news outlet. Citizen News announced its decision in a Facebook post Sunday. It is the third news outlet to close in recent months. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's great to have you with us as we begin a brand new week on VOA Asia. Declining currency value and the business of antique timepieces are the topics on today's VOA Asia business scene with Chris Cascajo.
Afghanistan's currency dived to a record low against the U.S. dollar on Monday, taking its losses over the last week to 30% as an economic collapse and humanitarian crisis gripped the country. There has been an enormous shortage of dollars since the Taliban seized power in August, as international donors suspended billions in aid provided annually to the previous U.S.-backed regime. Afghanistan's Money Exchange Commission said it has urged the central bank to intervene in the market to shore up the Afghani, which sagged to 130 against the dollar in Monday trade, down from 100 a week ago. Since the Taliban takeover, the central bank has been cut off from nearly $10 billion in reserves it held overseas, mainly in the United States. The Afghani's depreciation began gathering pace early last week, propelled by market fears that a major bank might collapse. Kabul shopkeeper Salab.
Yesterday, I borrowed some money from someone. He'd paid me in Afghanis. I exchanged it in the morning. I lost 75,000 Afghanis out of nothing.
The country's cash crunch has fed an economic collapse that has left it facing a deepening humanitarian crisis. More than half of Afghanistan's 38 million people face acute food shortages, according to the United Nations, with the winter forcing millions to choose between migration and starvation. The tick-tock of hundreds of antique clocks fills a small hall in the southwestern Pakistani city of Quetta, where collector Ghul Kakar swears he will spend all the time he has left caring for them. Delicate wristwatches, weighty pocket pieces, and battered table models clutter every surface, while the pendulums of wall-mounted and standalone grandfather clocks sway as their deep bongs mark each new hour. Ghul Kakar.
Whether it be a grandfather, pocket, or table clock, I know their language. I give it a half or half an hour, they tell me their problems, and I understand.
Kakar's collection, some of which dates back to 1850, is housed inside the city's police headquarters compound. That means they are behind heavy gates and high concrete blast walls in a province that for years has been rife with ethnic, sectarian, and separatist violence. The tight security may contribute to the lack of traffic, though Kakar admits he has found few other aficionados to admire his museum and there are hardly any visitors. People in Quetta don't show much interest, he confesses. Kakar's obsession began decades ago when two family clocks fell out of order and were sent for repairs. He has lost count of how many he has or how much he spends on his collection, but income from a family-run landholding means a major portion of his police salary goes to clocks. For Business Scene, I'm Chris Cascajo.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. South Korea's military says an unidentified person crossed the heavily fortified border into North Korea. South Korea sent a message to North Korea early Sunday to ensure the safety of the person. The North has not responded. You'll find this in all the big stories throughout the day by visiting us on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, on top of many other difficulties the COVID-19 pandemic has brought to the United States, problems continue with the supply chain and the shortage of truck drivers. Maria Pru has more in this story narrated by Anna Rice.
Truck drivers needed, flexible work hours, high salary. These ads are becoming more and more common in the U.S., where 70% of all goods are transported cross-country by truck, according to American trucking associations. According to local truck drivers associations, today there are roughly 80,000 job openings for truck drivers. Yuri Shalak has been working in logistics for a trucking company for over 16 years. And he says the pandemic has made things significantly worse.
The average age of truck drivers in the US is 47. Those who are over 60 simply retire. And there are not as many younger drivers coming in.
Shalak owns a trucking dispatch company in Chicago and has about 150 drivers and truck owners working for him. He says in the last 2 years, there's been an increase in the logistics workload because more Americans are ordering products online. But the trucking industry hasn't changed to accommodate a changing world.
They're consistently underutilized by something like 40%. The way we conventionally schedule our truck drivers for pickup and delivery, and then the way we treat them with a particularly low value on their time.
A truck driver's workday is strictly standardized. Drivers are permitted to spend no more than 11 hours a day driving. They must move quickly to load or unload their vehicles, or they lose work that day.
There's a lot of frustration, you know, a lot of a sense of disrespect. Drivers talk a lot about, you know, respect.
On average, U.S. truck drivers are paid a decent salary, about $25 an hour. So it's no surprise many try their hand at this job, but not that many end up staying.
Statistics in America show that every year a trucking company will have a totally new team of drivers. That means those drivers who joined in January won't be there in a year. So owners of these companies need to try hard to make people stay.
The Biden administration hopes to decrease the shortage of truck drivers by opening more training programs for drivers. For example, programs that target former military personnel. But experts say it is proving increasingly difficult to motivate people. The situation is different for self-employed truckers. Dmitro Knatyuk has been working as a truck driver for over 13 years.
I'm self-employed. I drive my own truck. And for me, the situation right now is actually pretty good. Compared to the last few years, this year I had one of the highest transportation rates I've seen in the last decade.
And Knatyuk adds, despite the potential difficulties, he's been happy with his work.
On average, our salaries are 2 to 3 times higher than the U.S. median.
Experts believe in the next few years, the shortage of microchips needed to produce cars and trucks will not go away. So in the near future, the price of transporting goods, as well as prices for these goods, will only go up. For Maria Prus in Washington, Anna Rice, VOA News.
Making headlines in Asia, Tesla has recalled 675,000 cars in the United States and China over issues with the trunk and front hood of two models, raising new questions about the safety of the popular electric vehicle. Chinese regulators announced the recall of almost 200,000 cars. The problems with the trunk and hood increased the risk of crashes, according to U.S. and Chinese regulators. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, NASA successfully launched its much-anticipated next-generation space telescope. Now come weeks of nervousness for project scientists who can only hope the next steps will go as planned. VOA's Arash Arabasadi brings us news from space.
And liftoff.
NASA at long last launched the James Webb Space Telescope. Its mission is to search the cosmos for the very first stars and galaxies and possible signs of life beyond our solar system. The Space Observatory is now en route to its final destination, some 1.5 million kilometers away.
This is an Apollo moment for NASA, right? It's a huge, ambitious project. This took 40 million people hours at a cost of approximately $10 billion, decades of development.
Scientists have called this part of the mission 29 days of terror, as the month-long journey is beyond any distance possible for humans to fly and make repairs. Once positioned, the massive Webb telescope will spend the next 5 months unfurling and orienting itself for the mission, which you can track at web.nasa.gov.
Liftoff.
In other news, we recently reported in this segment about NASA's Double Asteroid Redirection Test, or DART for short. The spacecraft's mission is to crash into an asteroid to see if one headed for Earth can be knocked off its course.
You know I'm gonna die, right? I'm the guy who gets to do it saving the world.
This comes straight from the plot of Hollywood movies like 1998's Armageddon with a twist. This is only a test, and DART's target poses no real threat to our planet. NASA recently released images taken from the craft some 3.2 million kilometers, just 11 light seconds, from Earth. They may not look like much, but the navigation team uses the stars to determine the craft's exact location, and this is considered a major milestone. DART will reach its target in September of 2022. Finally, churning away at the Solar Foods facility in Helsinki, Finland, is what developers say is a nutrient-rich protein made from thin air. It's called Soleen, and it's grown in a fermentation tank from a single microbe. The process draws carbon dioxide and water from the air, with hydrogen split from the water using electricity. A recent study shows the world's food systems is driving more than a third of global greenhouse gas emissions. Without the agricultural process, Solar Foods has near zero carbon emissions and was recently selected as one of the winners of a NASA Deep Space Food Challenge. Arash Arbasadi, VOA News.
With the new year comes the beginning of the Oscars race. Oscar nominees distinguish themselves in categories such as film direction, cinematography, and acting. The message of these films is also significant, especially in relation to the times that we live in. VOA's Penelope Palou looks at some of these promising contenders.
I never seen you before. I'm not Puerto Rican.
Steven Spielberg's remake of West Side Story is inspired by the 1957 Broadway musical of the same name. Spielberg says the story about two young star-crossed lovers from ethnically different rival gangs in New York City is as relevant today as it was more than 60 years ago.
Divisions between unlike-minded people is as old as time itself. And the divisions between the Sharks and the Jets in 1957, which inspired musical, were profound, but not as divided as we find ourselves today.
One of your own kind, stick to your own kind.
The film is expected to garner Oscar nominations, says Variety's film awards editor Clayton Davis.
And we'll find a lot of love also in the acting races because Ariana DeBose, who plays Anita, is playing the same role that Rita Moreno played 60 years ago. And if she wins, which it looks like she has a really good shot of possibly doing, she'll be the second Latina to ever win supporting actress.
Psychological thriller Nightmare Alley, directed by Guillermo del Toro, blurs the lines between what is real and what is not. Bradley Cooper plays anti-hero Stanton Carlisle, a drifter on the run who joins a traveling carnival. The star-studded cast includes Cate Blanchett. Del Toro co-wrote the script with his wife Kim Morgan.
It reflects the anxiety of these times. It feels, that at least that's what we felt,
yes,
writing it and doing it.
A lot about the American dream, which is something that still exists and is something that's very hard for people to attain.
And on the flip side, it's always a nightmare.
Yeah.
Adam McKay's dark satire Don't Look Up hits home as a massive comet threatens to destroy Earth. Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence play two astronomers trying to persuade the world to act before it is too late.
There's a comet headed directly towards Earth.
Do you know how many the world is ending me?
Meryl Streep plays the demagogic American president who plays down the catastrophic threat. Clayton Davis says McKay's satire is all too real.
I laughed for the first like 30, 40 minutes, and then I stopped laughing because I said, oh no, this is too real, because this is tomorrow.
Feel-good movies, such as King Richard, are favorited by critics and audiences.
Right now, people are looking to not be depressed, especially now when there's a surge in cases again.
The biopic chronicles how tennis players Venus and Serena Williams, two black girls from the rough Los Angeles neighborhood of Compton, rose to superstardom through the support of their family and the tireless coaching of their father, Richard Williams. Will Smith produced the film and plays the lead role.
I think Will Smith is really in play to win an Academy Award there.
Venus Williams told VOA that the film champions black girl power.
The film was shot beautifully. All the action sequences were amazing. Of course, our family was very prominent in it. And I'm very excited that this film is hopefully going to inspire a lot of people.
Another critic's favorite is Belfast by Kenneth Branagh. Set in the capital of Northern Ireland, the film, inspired by Branagh's childhood, chronicles the life of 9-year-old Buddy in 1969. Branagh told VOA that despite the political and sectarian violence surrounding Buddy's life, the film focuses on family ties and community.
I think the film looks for a sense of compassion and respect and recognition and celebration of people's differences, something that is a tough subject for everybody right now in a polarized world.
Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks for being with us today on VOA Asia. Continue with us online. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. You'll find us at all of those places. And, of course, the voanews.com website. We thank our team, Service Chief Diane Gao, Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jessica Stone. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.